Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue. We started a first part last week of walking in the supernatural. I'm going to do a quick recap. We're going to get right back into it. This is Sunday morning, September the 8th, 2019. So I'll just do a real quick summary, then we'll get right back into where we left off. Walking in the supernatural is walking in the Spirit. We know so well how to walk in the natural. The Spirit of the Lord says it is now time to walk in the supernatural. Let supernatural ways in thinking override natural ways in thinking patterns. Now we begin to take a closer look. We looked at Galatians 5, talks about the flesh. And Galatians 5 also talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You will notice here that walking in line is of the Spirit or supernatural, or walking in line with the Spirit is the supernatural. The fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. We know what the will of the Lord is, and here are the prayers He has laid down for us to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer and prayer for our leaders. Whether we realize it or not, these two prayers and the obedience of praying them is what is getting our nation and our church back on track. You know, Holy Spirit was talking about when you see something out of line, speak it back into line. It's always been heaven's way, the walk of the fruit of the Spirit, the walk of the supernatural. Jesus gave us a job with instructions before He went to the Father. He told us to go into all the nations, make disciples, teaching them what I've taught you. And He said, you'd lay hands on the sick and they would recover. All right, Jesus walked this way. He went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. We're to walk that way. We're not here to criticize and condemn people and tell them where they're wrong and correct their doctrine. Now, I know the Lord does give personal words, but for the most part, the goodness of God is overriding everything else to get them into the fold. Then He can begin to love them back into the place they need to be. Okay, Jesus did great works while He was here. He was born of a virgin, changed water into wine, healed the royal official's son, healed the Capernaum demoniac, healed Peter's mother-in-law, healed sick in the evening. He gave wisdom to catch a large number of fish when before there was none. Healed a leper, healed the centurion's servant, healed a paralyzed man, healed a withered hand, raised a widow's son from the dead. And Jesus said we would do greater things than He did. Okay, we're going to pick up now with part two here. We're going to continue with the works of Jesus. The Lord wants us to begin to see ourselves as He is, so are we in this world. He wants us to imagine. This morning, my whole prayer time before this morning was only imagine. What would you imagine? What would you imagine to change your circumstances today? Start imagining it. It's called meditation. You start thinking about it in your mind. That's how God created. He thought about it. He meditated. The Holy Spirit was brooding over the face of the waters, and God said. I've seen things happen in my life when I meditated at times where I was limited in an area. And after meditating, I had the ability to do it. This is all part of it. It's not just speaking. This is mulling it around, thinking about it, imagining yourself not sick anymore, imagining yourself with no lack anymore, imagining yourself doing what God has said you will do. Imagine yourself going and laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. Go imagine yourself raising the dead. Go imagine yourself shaking whatever off that doesn't bother you. All right, first scripture is Luke 7. We're going to read each one. The reason the Lord said this will be several weeks because He wants our minds renewed, not to just think about, oh, those are the works of Jesus. Oh, I'll be so glad when Jesus comes back. Or, oh, I'll be glad, blah, blah, blah. He didn't say that. He said, you go do what I did. Luke 7:11, we so much, We put Paul up there on the pedestal. I remember talking to a friend of mine. The Lord gave me, you know, like Paul, the thorn in the flesh that Paul. This sister, she's suffered a long time with certain things. And I said, the Lord's showing me because of your ministry. She's in the anti-abortion industry. And I said, you stand in a very, very prominent place. And I said, it's kind of naive to think you won't have some flack. You're thinking all this coming against me is it's this, that, this doctor, that doctor. But I said, let me tell you, there is a counting of the cost and there is a bearing of our cross for the ministries that we're called to and what he's asked us to do. So you probably haven't considered that, but you might want to. She said, yeah. She said, that thought came to me one day and I thought, oh no, that was Paul. Paul's right up there with Jesus. Well, aren't you? Aren't you? Are you up there with Jesus? Is he asking you to do the same thing he did here? Yes, he is. Paul's nothing special. He's just another born-again believer that learned how to do it, that walked in resurrection power even while he was in the body. That's where God wants us. People are looking for somebody that's got it all together. They've seen enough fakery. There's fakery on the right and the left. But God's right in the middle. You know what I'm saying? He's right in the middle, walking the straight and narrow. And he wants us to follow him. Okay, 7, 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great throng accompanied him. As he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large gathering from the town was accompanying her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And he went forward and touched the funeral bearer, and the pallbearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the man, dead, sat up and began to speak and gave him back to his mother. Profound and reverent fear seized them all, and they began to recognize God and praise and give thanks, saying, a great prophet has appeared among us, and God has visited his people. See, if when you do these things, they're going to say the same thing about you. They're going to say the same thing. God is visiting his people. You know, there can be a lot of stuff going on out over the airways and social media and everything. Lots of talking heads, lots of voices saying lots of stuff. But when the power of God shows up, everything else just falls by the wayside. See what's important? One of those Psalms is about the manifestation of the sons of God. This is what God is raising up at this hour. All right? He calmed the storm, Matthew 8. No longer see Jesus doing these things. See yourself doing these things. Prepare your heart to be ready for the Lord to put you in situations and he'll give you what to say and what to do. That Jesus didn't work independent. He just prayed, stayed prayed up, and he went about his business. And he just flowed. The Lord showed him what to do. Have you ever had a divine appointment? Just bam, it just happens. And you said things, you did things, you go, wow, Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be all the time. Divine appointments. That's what Jesus had, divine appointments, everywhere he went. He was open. That's why he had them. Okay, Matthew 8:28. Most people are not open to it. They're just about their business, getting their stuff done, taking care of their own. And when he had arrived at the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, two men under the control of demons went to meet. See if I'm right here. Wait a minute. I'm not right. Just a second. 23, not 28, 23. And after he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly, behold, there rose a violent storm on the sea like Dorian. You see how that thing petered out after the sons of God began to rise and speak to the storm? I saw someone on Where We Go One, We Go All, Where We Go One, We Go All. They were saying, we've been speaking against the storm. It stalled out. I thought, praise God, there's other believers out there that are doing the same thing we are. The manifestations, they are fed up with deep state. They're fed up with their fake engineered storms. You know what? Jesus controlled storms. Whether it was geoengineered or whether it was natural, Jesus spoke to them and they obeyed him. And suddenly, behold, there arose a violent storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered up by the waters, but he was sleeping. And they went and awakened him, saying, Lord, rescue and preserve us, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you timid and afraid? Oh, you a little faith. Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a calm and wonderful, a great and wonderful calm. And the men were stunned with bewildered wonder and marveled, saying, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? He was the Son of God. That's what kind of man he was. Okay, Mark 4. We speak to storms around here. Speak to wind. Okay, Mark 4. Let's see, Mark 4, 35. On that same day, evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the throng, they took him with them. And as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him, and a furious storm of wind arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat, so that it was already becoming filled. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, hush now, be stilled. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly, and said one to another, who is this that even wind and sea obey him? The Lord is trying to get us out of being fearful and timid and afraid. And we're getting into the place where everywhere we turn, we're speaking, we're changing. We don't let anything get past us. Just because the left is spouting the narrative does not mean it is so, and it does not mean it will come to pass. And just because the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it will either. He's got to have your cooperation. Why does he have to have our cooperation? The earth he's given to men. He's given us authority over the storms. We have to decide, we'll take his vision and run with it. So I said, President has a rally tomorrow night. When you hear him say strategic things, write it down. Get on board with him. Everything he speaks is in code and it has a meaning. And God is using him to proclaim a new narrative to go throughout this land instead of the one we've seen of death and destruction. Okay, and you might enjoy it. He's a hoot. Anyway. All right. Luke 8, 22. On one of those days, he and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they put out to sea. But as they were sailing, he fell off to sleep, and a whirlwind revolving from below upward swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in great danger. And the disciples came and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. He, being thoroughly awakened, censured and blamed and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there came a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were seized with alarm and profound and reverent dread, and they marveled, saying one to another, who then is this that he commands even wind and sea, and they obey him? I remember back, I don't remember what year it was. We hadn't been riding motorcycles very long, but we went on a motorcycle trip, and everybody in the group was a Christian, but they were not they were more the complaining, blaming types, you know. And I remember the guy that kind of led the pack. He's always looking at the weather and all this kind of stuff and saying, we need to go this direction because this and that. And I remember Danny and I telling them, well, it won't rain. There won't be any rain. It rained all around us. It never touched us. And they didn't know what to do with us. They already thought we were weird. You know, they thought Jesus was weird. They thought Jesus was weird. I'd rather be weird like Jesus and be weird like them. Just Christians exercising their authority, proclaiming what they want, will safely reach the other side. We have so much control. We just don't know it. That's the problem. We doubt. What did the Psalm say I read a while ago? Don't let doubt knock you out. I was having some problems in my body and I'd been doing really well. All of a sudden, I got in doubt about something and I didn't realize it. And the Lord said, that's where the door opened. You lost your confidence that I was leading you and guiding you. You know, Danny has a new car, and that car, it basically will drive itself. But you got to kind of put your hand out there once in a while, you know. Well, see, that's the way the Lord is. He lets you steer. He wants you to do, go. But he's still there, kind of like a baby walking. Mom and Dad are right there, and you're taking your steps, and you're doing what you need to do. And if you get off, he'll bump you a little bit, you know, get you back in line. Not a... You sorry sinner, look what you did. That's not the way God does things. He is a father, and he said, if you as a natural father can give good gifts unto your children. Our grandkids have got it pretty good. They all got new cars from Nana and Poppy. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? How much more, he says, if you've been evil... He says, evil means natural men, natural flesh men. The flesh is evil. If you being natural can do this for your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? Okay, let's keep going. All right, where did I read? Luke 8:22. He delivered the Gerasene demoniac, Matthew 8. I said we're going to take our time. How many weeks? Be sure you tell me about an hour, okay? We could. 8:28. He said to come boldly before his throne to make a request known. Confidence. What got the baby for Abraham and Sarah? Full persuasion, confidence. When he reached the house and went in, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? This is not right. Just a second. There's so many scriptures here, I'm kind of getting off. This is 8:28. Okay. And when he arrived at the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, two men under the control of demons went to meet him, coming out of the tomb, so fierce and savage that no one was able to pass that way. And behold, they shrieked and screamed, what have you to do with us, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? Now at some distance from there, a drove of many hogs was grazing, and the demons begged him, if you drive us out, send us into the drove of hogs. And he said to them, be gone. So they came out and went into the hogs, and behold, the whole drove rushed down the steep bank into the sea and died in the water. And the herdsmen fled and went into the town and reported everything, including what had happened to the men under the power of demons. Behold, the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and as soon as they saw him, they begged him to depart from their locality. Why, he's ruining the beet meat business. No bacon tonight. All right, Jesus didn't let demons intimidate him. He took care of them. All right, Mark 5. Verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes, and as soon as he got out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man of an unclean spirit. This man continually lived among the tombs, and no one could subdue him anymore, even with a chain. For he had been bound often with shackles for the feet and handcuffs, but the handcuffs of chains he wrenched apart. And the shackles he rubbed and ground together and broke in pieces, and no one had strength enough to restrain or tame him. Let me stop here. Holy Spirit just quickened to me something. He's been speaking to me, and I think I just now understood what he's saying. These people on the left that are calling for cannibalism, they're calling for, like, you know, when people die, eat the bodies. They're calling for not eating meat, limiting how much beef you can have. They're calling for, of course, getting rid of all fossil fuels, all these things. We need to release them from this demonic spirit, because I think the devil has gone so crazy and so far, even they can't keep up with what he's doing. He has so accelerated, and it's gotten so twisted and so messed up that they don't know how to get out of it. So let the Lord lead you on how to speak concerning that, to release these people from this demonic assignment, because they are so crazy wicked. But there's something the Lord gave me years ago, and it always has panned out. The devil always overplays his hand. He is so far left, even the left is going to leave him. Because his time's not yet. And he will not be able to do what he wants to do until God says, okay, I give you 3.5 years. But as far as I'm concerned, he's still on God's leash. Okay. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always shrieking and screaming and beating, bruising and cutting himself with stones. I imagine they look at each other after they have one of their debates and think, what are we doing? What are we saying? This isn't us. It's demons. Doctrines of demons. And when from a distance he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his knees before him in homage, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I solemnly implore you, by God, do not begin to torment me. For Jesus was commanding, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. He kept begging him urgently not to send them away out of that region. Now a great herd of hogs was grazing there on the hillside, and the demons begged him, saying, send us to the hogs, that we may go into them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered into the hogs, and the herd numbering about 2,000, get a picture of this, 2,000 hogs, rushed headlong down the steep slope into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The hog feeders ran away and told in the town and in the country and came to see what it was that had taken place. The left, when you're so full of demons, there'll come a place you just can't. I think it just drives you crazy where you go kill yourself. Isn't that what his ultimate aim is to kill, steal, destroy? I've been praying for the squad, that they would come to know the Lord. That's AOC, Talib, and Ilham Omar, whatever, if that's even her name. And there's another woman. That they would have such an encounter with Jesus that they'd be even more radical for the kingdom of God than they have been for socialism and communism and all of the bad things. And they came to Jesus and looked intently and searchingly at the man who had been a demoniac sitting there clothed in his right mind, who had had, and they were seized with alarm and struck with fear. And those who had seen it related in full what had happened to the man possessed by the demons. And they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And when he had stepped into the boat, the man who had been controlled by the unclean spirits kept begging him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused to permit him, but said to him, go home to your own and bring back word to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had sympathy for you and mercy on you. And he departed, began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were astonished and marveled. So that's why The Lord is waiting for us to quit complaining about them, quit speaking ill of them, and begin to have mercy and speak their deliverance, remit their sins. Some of them will, some of them won't. But our hearts, we have to have a right heart in this. You know, it's real easy just to condemn everybody to hell. But that's not what God wants. He died for them. He wants them to be born again. Okay, now Luke chapter 8. Then they came to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. Now when Jesus stepped on land, there met him a certain man out of the town who had demons for a long time. He had worn no clothes, and he lived not in a house but in the tombs. The Lord doesn't want us to shy back. There's somebody I know, she's a friend of one of our kids. And she's got some demons, and I can't stand to be around it. The Lord, there'll be times the Lord will say, no, you go deal with it. You go deal with it. When he saw Jesus, he raised a deep cry, a cry from the depths, and fell down before him and shouted loudly, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For Jesus was already commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had snatched and held him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and fetters, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus then asked him, what is your name? And he answered, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they begged Jesus not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a great herd of swine was there feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged him to give them leave to enter these, and he allowed them to do so. I was just pondering here where the Amplified puts bottomless pit here. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard people say, you can't command the devil to go to hell. The devil's not there yet. Now a great herd of swine was there feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged him to give them leave to enter these, and he allowed them. Then the demons came out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep cliff into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran and away and told it in the town and in the country, and people went out to see what had occurred. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were seized with alarm and fear. And those who had seen it told them how he had been possessed with demons and was restored to health. So Jesus is in the restoring business. We are in the restoring business. Not the destroying business, the restoring business. Jesus went about doing good. We go about doing good. We're not here to judge. We're not here to tell you you're wrong. Not at first, anyway. The Holy Spirit will do that as they become born again and they begin to hear the Word, their mind gets renewed. God will do the changing. We don't do the changing. We do the catching. Remember that. We catch fish. We're fishers of men. Okay. He healed a woman with eternal bleeding. Matthew 9. I prayed for a lady one time for that. Lord gave me that scripture for her. She'd been to the doctors and had DNCs and done everything and was no better but grew worse. And then just one day it just quit. Matthew 9, verse 20. Behold, a woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. She was probably going through menopause. I mean, truthfully, this is probably what she was going through, because a lot of women, that's what they go through. This woman, that was the problem. Oh, yeah. I spoke for a lot of years over my body, and so I had a pretty fast passage, and I didn't go through all of that. But a lot of people do. Yeah. For she kept saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. Jesus turned around and seeing her, he said, take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was restored to health. When Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making an uproar and din, he said, go away. The girl's not dead but sleeping. Well, we won't get into that yet. This is on down the line. Okay, I just wanted to read to you about the woman. Okay, Mark 5:25. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but instead grew worse. We see our great medical system at work here. Spend lots of money and all these things, hormones and all these things to correct everything, keep everything on track. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the sores, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself the power proceeding from him, had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still he kept looking around to see her who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, have restored you to health. Go in into peace and be continually healed and freed from your bodily disease. Okay? All right, one more. Luke 8:43. And a woman had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years and had spent all her living upon physicians and could not be healed by anyone, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who is it that touched me? When all were denying it, Peter and those who were with him said, Master, the multitudes surround you and press you on every side. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I perceived that power has gone forth from me. When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came up trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people for what reason she had touched him and how she had been instantly cured. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go into peace, untroubled, undisturbed, well-being. Okay? Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he was talking this way to them, behold, a ruler entered and kneeling down worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will come to life. Jesus got up and accompanied him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she kept saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. Jesus turned around and seeing her, he said, take courage, daughter, your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was restored to health. We just read that about her. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making an uproar and din, he said, go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they laughed and jeered at him. When the crowd had been ordered to go outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the news about this spread throughout all that district. And Jesus passed on from there. Okay. All right. Mark 5:22. Then one of the rulers in the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet. He begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. Okay, let's just skip down. Okay, thank you. While he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house who said to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further?" Overhearing but ignoring what they said. That's what we need to do when it comes to the things that are not, that are contrary to God's word. He said he overheard it, but he ignored it. What they said. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing." He permitted no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he looked at the tumult, the people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had gone in, he said to them, "Why do you make an uproar and weep? The little girl's not dead, but is sleeping." And they laughed and jeered at him, but he put them all out. Taking the child's father and mother and those who were with him, he went in where the little girl was lying. Gripping her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which translated his little girl, "I say to you, arise." Instantly the girl got up and started walking around. She was 12 years old, and they were utterly astonished and overcome with amazement. And he strictly commanded and warned them that no one should know this. He told them to give her something to eat. I was thinking about, you know, how when people are sick, they get coddled, and it a lot of times it causes them to relapse. Now, dear, you've been dead, so you better take it easy. No, he said, treat her, give her food, because well people eat. Okay, he healed two blind men. This is Matthew chapter 9. Verse 27. And Jesus passed on from there. Two blind men followed him, shouting loudly, "Have pity, mercy on us, Son of David." When he reached the house and went in, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you not believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith and trust and reliance, be it done to you." And their eyes were open. And Jesus earnestly and sternly charged them, "See that no one know about this." And they went off and blazed and spread his fame abroad throughout the whole district. Okay, he healed a mute, demon-possessed man. This is Matthew chapter 9, 32. And while they were going away, behold, a dumb man under the power of a demon was brought to Jesus. A dumb man means he couldn't speak. And when the demon was driven out, the dumb man spoke. And the crowds were stunned with bewildered wonder, saying, "Never before has anything like this been seen in Israel." All right, he healed a 38-year-old invalid. He'd been an invalid 38 years. This is John chapter 5. Verse 1. Later on, there was a Jewish festival for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem a pool near the Sheep Gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great number of sick folks, some blind, some crippled, some paralyzed. All right, it talks about the angel coming down. This is all in italics, so it was added by the translators. There was a certain man there who was suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to the man, "Do you want to become well?" The invalid answered, "Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to come myself, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk." Instantly the man became well and recovered his strength and picked up his bed and walked. But that happened on the Sabbath. Okay. All right, supernaturally fed, Jesus supernaturally fed 5,000 men and their families. Matthew 14. All right, verse 16. Or 14. Yeah, 14. And when he went ashore, he saw a great throng of people. He had compassion, pity, and deep sympathy for them and cured their sick. When evening came, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote and barren place, and the day is now over. Send the throngs away into the villages to buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to recline on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and blessed and broke the loaves and handed the pieces to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were 5,000 men, not including women and children. Okay, Mark chapter 6. Verse 35. And when the day was already far gone, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate and isolated place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away to go into this country and villages round about and buy themselves something to eat." But he replied to them, "Give them something to eat yourselves." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they said 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded the people all to recline on the grass, green grass by company. So they threw themselves down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up into heaven and praising God, gave thanks and broke the loaves and kept on giving them to the disciples and set before the people, and he divided the 2 fish among them. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Okay, let's keep going. This is Luke chapter 9. Now the day began to decline, and the 12 came and said to him, "Dismiss the crowds and send them away so that they may go to the neighboring hamlets and villages in the surrounding country and find lodging and get a supply of provisions, for we are here in an uninhabited place." And he said to them, "You give them to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we are to go and buy food for all this crowd." There were about 5,000 men. Jesus said to his disciples, "Have them sit down, reclining in table groups of about 50 each." And they did so and made them all recline. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, they looked up to heaven and praising God, gave thanks and asked him to bless them. Then he broke them and gave them to the disciples to place before the multitude. And all the people ate and were satisfied. And they gathered up what remained, over 12 baskets of broken pieces. Okay, one more, John chapter 6. Jesus, looking up then and seeing that a vast multitude was coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that all these people may eat?" But he said this to test him, for he knew what he was about to do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not enough that everyone may have even a little." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said of him, "There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make all the people recline." Now the ground was covered with thick grass at the spot. So the men threw themselves down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to the reclining people, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they had all had enough, he said to his disciples, "Gather up now the fragments, so that nothing may be lost and wasted. So accordingly, they gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with fragments left over by those who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. And when the people saw the sign that Jesus had performed, they began saying, "Surely and beyond a doubt, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus walked on water. Matthew 14. Keep thinking, greater works than these, Jesus said, shall you do. Matthew 14:22. You watching the time for me? Okay. Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds. After he dismissed the crowds, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs distance from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, "Stop, take courage, I am, stop being afraid." So we're not going to talk about Peter. All right, Mark 6, 45. And at once he insisted that the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethesda while he was sending the throng away. And after he had taken leave of them, he went off to the hills to pray. Now when evening had come, the boat was out in the middle of the lake, and he was by himself on the land. Having seen that they were troubled and tormented and rowing, for the wind was against them, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking directly on the sea, and he acted as if he meant to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought he was a ghost and cried and raised a shriek of terror, for they all saw him and were agitated. But immediately he talked with them and said, "Take heart, I am, stop being alarmed and afraid." All right, one more, John chapter 6. Verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and they took a boat and were going across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and still Jesus had not come back to them. Meanwhile, the sea was getting rough and rising high because of a great and violent wind that was blowing. When they had rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and approaching the boat, and they were afraid. But Jesus said to them, "Is it I? Be not afraid." Then they were quite willing and glad for him to come into the boat. And now the boat went at once to the land they had steered forward. Think about that. He stepped in the boat, then they were at the land. Supernatural. Mm-hmm. What are all these miracles showing? It didn't matter what obstacle was in the way. God provided a supernatural way. He healed many people in Gennesaret. Matthew 14. Jesus walked in the supernatural. So when you walk in the supernatural, there will be times that you will override the natural. Isn't healing overriding the natural? Divine supply is overriding the natural. Walking on waters, talking to storms, this is overriding the natural. Okay, Matthew 14, 34. And when they had crossed over to the other side, they went ashore at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick, and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. As many as touched it were perfectly restored. See, they had heard. They were hearing. They were hearing. Faith, it caused faith to rise. They heard. They just touched his garment and they were healed. He didn't even have to lay hands on them. Okay, Mark 6, 53. Same thing with Peter and the shadow. Mark 6, 53. When they crossed over, they reached the land of Gennesaret and came to the shore. And as soon as they got out of the boat, the people recognized him, and they ran about the whole countryside and began to carry around sick people on their sleeping pads or mats to any place where they heard it, that he was. Whenever he came into villages or cities or the country, they would lay the sick in the marketplaces and beg him that they might touch even the fringe of his outer garment. As many as touched him were restored to health. You know what? Whenever you start walking in the Spirit and those kind of things happen to you, the same thing's going to happen to you. Wherever you show up, people go, before you know it, you're going to have a crowd. Get ready for it. He healed and delivered a girl possessed by a demon. This is Matthew 15. Hope y'all marking these scriptures down, then you mark them in your Bible. Then when you need to read your scriptures, you got your scriptures. This is the Matthew 15:21, and going away from there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman who was a Canaanite from that district came out and with a cry begged, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably and distressingly and cruelly possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and kneeling worshipped him and kept praying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet the little pups eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was cured from that moment. Okay, Mark 7, 24. And Jesus arose and went away from there to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he went into a house and did not want anyone to know. He wanted to look quiet down, but it was not possible for him to be hidden. Think about that. When you get to the place that you're walking like Jesus walked and things begin to happen, trying to get away and just get a moment to yourself may be a really difficult thing to do. It was for Jesus. Instead, a woman whose little daughter was under the control of an unclean spirit heard about him and came and flung herself down at his feet. What are you going to do? You're going to have to deal with it. She's at your feet. Now, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nationality, and she kept begging him to drive the demon out of her little daughter. He said to her, "First let the children be fed, for it is not becoming or proper or right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the pups under the table eat the little children's scraps of food." And he said to her, "Because of this saying, you may go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And she went home and found the child thrown on the couch, and the demon departed. Okay, let's keep going. Where am I in this? Am I close to the... How long?
You have about 6 minutes.
Okay. Jesus healed a deaf and mute man. Mark 7, 31. Soon after this, Jesus, coming back from the region of Tyre, passed through Sidon onto the Sea of Galilee through the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had difficulty in speaking, and they begged Jesus to place his hand upon him. Taking him aside from the crowd, he thrust his fingers into the man's ears and spat and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed, and as he said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened," and his ears were opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak distinctly and as he should. Okay. He fed supernaturally 4,000 men and their families. This is Matthew 15. Verse 29. Jesus went on from there and passed along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up into the hills and kept sitting there. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb, and many others, and they put them down at his feet, and he cured them. So the crowd was amazed when they saw the dumb speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing. They recognized and praised and thanked and glorified the God of Israel. Okay, let me find my place here. Luke 11. Wait a minute.
Feeding of the 4,000 was right after that.
Okay, healed the blind. No, that was the, must have, just a minute. Healed a blind man. No, this is,
No, you were going to read about the feeding of the 4,000. That was in Matthew right then. You just didn't keep reading. It was right after that.
Well, I just read healed a deaf and mute man, right?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, Mark 7:31, fed supernaturally 4,000 men and their families. Okay, Matthew 15.
Yeah.
Okay, 29. Did I just read that?
Yeah.
I did.
No,
duh.
You stopped too early. Verse 33.
Just a minute, Danny. 33, okay. And Jesus asked him, "How many loaves of bread do you have?" They replied, "Seven and a few small fish." And ordering the crowd to recline on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and they gathered up seven baskets full of the broken pieces that were left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, not including the women and the children. Okay. All right, now go over to Mark 8. Going to keep my finger there. Okay. In those days, when an immense crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and told them, "I have pity and sympathy for the people, and my heart goes out to them, for they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes hungry, they will be feeble through exhaustion and faint along the road, and some of them have come a long way." And his disciples replied to him, "How can anyone fill and satisfy with loaves of bread here in this desolate and uninhabited region?" And he asked them, "How many loaves have you?" They said, "Seven." He commanded the multitude to recline upon the ground, and he took the seven loaves. Having given thanks, he broke them and kept on giving them to his disciples to put before the people, and they placed them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish. And when he had praised God and given thanks and asked him to bless them to their use, he ordered that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up seven baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And there were about 4,000 people. He dismissed them. Okay, he healed a blind man. This is Mark 8. Same passage, verse 22. Same chapter. They came to Bethsaida, and people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. He caught the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again, and the man looked intently, and he was restored and saw everything distinctly. Okay. We're going to stop today right there.